Accession number 10436, Reel 4.
Mr. Zwadnicki, Reel 4.
He joined the Polish army in, well, in Germany, really, the Polish armored division, but because his wound was serious, he was sent to hospital in Scotland, and then he was sent to Dragoon Regiment in Scotland. They were stationed in Terzo, right at the end. And he saw my name, and he wrote to me in Italy, and we started corresponding. And when I returned to when I came to England, I went to visit him. He's now in Poland. I'm sorry to say he's got death. Last I heard through my aunt that he was still alive. Well, that was about 2 years ago, so I hope he still is alive. His name is Sokołowski, Józef. All right, so we took our men on training to the Kabaty Forest, which is south of Warsaw, and Chłodnowski Forest. And that was Easter. I remember it was pouring with rain most of the time. No, it couldn't be an Easter.
No, because it couldn't be.
What holiday? What was it? Some kind of holiday. Well, maybe I'm mistaken. Anyway, it was
maybe
end
July.
Of June or beginning of July. And when we were there, the girl, liaison girl, you know, runner, company runner, because we use women very often, or Red Cross girls on company runners, platoon runners. And she arrived and he said, oh, the battalion is going mad, and the old man is jumping up and down, because you have to return immediately to Warsaw. So off we packed arms. We had a lorry stolen from Germans, and arms went on one lorry, and we went back to on the little railway, which we came. Going there was a bit of fun as well, because it was this railway was a lot of smugglers. It was very crowded, and submachine gun was hidden in the box of how do they call it? It's old age creeping. Violin.
Case.
Yes, the violin case, submachine gun. And I had my revolver, a pistol, Polish Vis, here, you see. And
the
young. Yes, quick. And the young lady was getting more red and red on the face. It was sort of pushed against me. So, of course, that was. It's here, you know. So
down the front of
yes, it. And one drunk was saying, well, play something on this. But people realized what it was. You know, people knew, so they shut him up. And when we were getting off, it was only four of us. The rest were coming separately. Each batch was about 35 men. And said, Godspeed, you know, people were shouting, you know, waving to us. Off we went to the forest. So then we have to go back to Warsaw in a hurry. And from that moment, we mobilized the troops. That meant that, you know, we kept them together, which means sections, which is, say, six, eight men, and sometimes squads, which is 18 to 20 men, or even in one case, two squads stayed together in somebody's house, in somebody's place, and were fed there by people in of the house, were fed there, and we have organization of liaison girls. We didn't use phones. And I was in the command post. We slept. One of us slept and one was on duty, the CO and myself. And we have runners to each platoon, and each platoon commander have runners to his sections and squads. So the men was, we were, at the time, the company was about 50% over the normal establishment. It was over 350 men. Normal establishment was just under 200 men and girls. We have several girls, Red Cross squad. And the first alert caught us. We have officers meeting in Nowy Świat, and we were just ending it when the girl runner from the battalion commander ran in and said, "Alert immediately! Tonight, tonight, it's 7 o'clock. 9 o'clock is curfew hour. We have to get all the men to Mokotów." So we just ran out, waving 500 zloty notes, catching rickshaws. You know what a rickshaw is?
Yes.
Yes. To get to platoon post, to get our men together. I met some of my boys, you know, saw them walking and stopped the rickshaw and ran to them and told them, immediately report to your the places they knew where I have to appear in Mokotów. We organized, the worst was organized arms, because we have arms magazines in several points in Warsaw. And one was an artist sculptor place. Inside of sculptures were rifles. Anyway, at 9 o'clock, we have 85% of men and women gathered. And by 10 o'clock, because men were still coming after curfew hours, one arrived in rickshaw, and the rickshaw fellow stayed with us, joined the unit. And so we have about 92% of. And then in the just before 10 o'clock at night, we were told that it's off. So in the morning, we have a problem to disperse over 350 men. And we are not the only unit in Mokotów. But it all went beautifully. No problems, no shooting. Everything went back to its place. And from then, nobody was allowed out. All the men were stayed in the places when they were supposed to. Arms were already very near brought into Mokotów. Not all of it, but we were slowly bringing them in. Not that there was so much of it. And then we have the second alert. That was, I remember, I was on duty because the CO went to see the battalion commander. The girl arrived with the orders. Call up everybody. We're moving. The fighting starts at 5 p.m. So then we have time to move men. And the CO arrived and he said he knew already, because he was at the same time met the battalion commander, and he said, "Yes, we're moving." And the company was about 370 men. I got the figure somewhere here, more or less, which is nearly double what we should have. But we were giving men to the other companies because we have a surplus. But somehow people didn't want to leave the friends, and, you know, anyway. And at 5 o'clock it started.
This is the 1st of August.
1st of August, yes. How it started? Well, it started, the company was divided in two parts. Two platoons went with the CO, two platoons went with me. They went left to a big school. Our first place to take was a telephone exchange manned by Germans. And the barracks. I'm wrong here. To the moment of taking the barracks, telephone exchange, the whole company was going. And after that, the the path was going to take this technical school, and we were going to go further on to a street which was billeted by SS troop. As it happens, we realized that the barracks, we got in the last moment, we got news that the barracks were emptied. It's only the telephone exchange which was held by Germans. So that these two platoons with CO went left and we went straight forward. We took the telephone exchange after a short fight and we moved forward. Now, we have to cross a street, and it was a potato field. We were shot up from this technical school, shooting at us, and it was a big tall building on our right-hand side in the Puławska Street, about 400 yards, and we were shooting from there. And there was a bunker, which was firing as well. But they couldn't hit us where we were crossing the street. And so to fight the fire from this, because nothing we could do to this big building, because we knew our boys were attacking as well as the technical school. But from technical school, we were still, in spite of being attacked, they fired on us. And there was an old-fashioned house with a balcony, sort of glassed over balcony, sticking out. So I said to NCO, first one I saw next to me, take the machine gun up there, first floor, on the balcony, and fight the fire from the school. And he did, and they did. And we ran through. It's only one man from the two platoons was wounded. He was the last one. He got it. He's behind. He's alive today. He later lost a hand. And we ran over. We ran to this potato fields and we ran through under fire. And we got to this street and we started fighting the SS troops which were there. We were billeted in the private houses and people were thrown out from the house on one side of the street. And we got them to run to the other side of the street. And then I got a report that the NCO, the cadet officer, who was firing at this school after we crossed, he was going to join us. Before that, he was hit. He was wounded. I didn't know who he was because we used pseudonyms. Anyway, it was getting dark and it was already, Warsaw was already started burning. It was 7 o'clock in September. In August in Warsaw, it was getting dark. And the flames were here and there. Real battlefield. And the runner appeared and he said, immediately return, immediately return. The orders are, get your men back, immediately. So I shouted to him, ask the regimental commander to give us a chance till it gets a bit late, darker, because we were on this potato field. We have no cover. It was about, 500 yards nearly. So the only way was to crawl, and when you're crawling, they still can see you. Well, the runner appeared 10 minutes later. He said, no orders are, you have to draw your men. So we started crawling through this potato field. And I remember a boy next to me. I remember his pseudonym, Toporczyk. He was crawling next to me. We're nearly at the end, behind the houses. You know, just we would get behind the houses in a few seconds. Couple of minutes, and he said, "Oh." So I sort of dragged him with me, but when we got there, behind the house, he was dead. Anyway, we withdrew, and we were waiting for orders. What happens? Another company was nearly annihilated, and we are supposed to storm their object. Objective, that is a better word. But the company commander persuaded the old man that we can't take this fort because there's 300 Germans there. They marched in a few minutes before the fighting started. The extra 200 Germans march into this old fortification. And so the old man say, yes, all right, you stay and defend us from the Puławska Street, the main street there. So we did. We arranged ourselves and waited till the morning. In the morning, German tanks are forward and backwards on Puławska Street, but they didn't try to get in. Later on, we were taken. The CO was wounded, and an officer who was the second in command of the company before me and was then taken to as a staff officer, returned to command these two platoons, which went the other way. Then in the morning, we had a few hours, no, 2 hours sleep, and we moved to a different place by the Park Dreschera. And opposite the big school where the German garrison was. And we realized we'll have to attack it. What happened during the night? There was an officers' meeting, at which I wasn't present because of this, what was going on. And the old man asked the question, well, we haven't taken this, we haven't taken that, we haven't taken this. What are we going to do? The one battalion who fought just outside Warsaw more than we were was pushed out. We didn't know what happened to them. So it's only two battalions left. Actually, one or two companies from the second battalion disappeared as well. So the old men have shot up, say, three to four companies, say 700 men, that was all. In old district, when there was plenty of German installation and troops, and so the chance was to go to the forest, try to fight your way through the forest, go outside Warsaw, or stay. Stay means a little block of houses, four streets altogether. But they were solidly built, because the rest of Mokotów was a villa sort of buildings, not very strong and not a good cover. Anyway, I don't know who said what, but at the end, I know that the old man said, we're staying. We started it, we're not going to leave this civilian population. So we stayed. About 9:30, I was in these buildings opposite this school where we are here, where second part of the other side of the street divided us from that school where the Germans were. And I noticed movement there. I knew this place because this is where my aunt lived. And I used to stay there a few nights here, a few nights there after my mother was arrested and then shot by Germans. And I realized that they're going to attack. So I sent a messenger, an officer who appeared from another unit. He died several years ago. And with a report, please give me some support, at least another machine gun, because the Germans are going to attack, and I propose to attack before they do it, to put them off. You know, we attack first. And I was in touch with my then the other officer who was in command of this two other platoons, the one who was a company commander, second in command before me, and we synchronized it. And apparently, I learned later, on his right wing was another unit, not from our regiment, but they just appeared. So off we went, and we caught Germans on the hop, really. Instead of attacking, it was a short firefight, and they debunked. The lorries appeared and were taken, and we took this school.
And you could see them debunking.
Oh, well, it was firing, you know, the distance was about 150 yards. That moment when we moved, all of us, all along the street, I look at the back and it was the old man, of course, all in civvies, oh, we have those armbands, with his Tyrolean hat with a little thing here.
Little what?
Hat, you know, sort of Tyrolean cap. Well, it's just difficult to describe it. He wore a funny sort of headgear. And about 60, 70 men, which he probably could scrape because he had to defend the other three sides. And the machine gun, which he did send me just before we went to attack. And screaming hurrah as a help to us. Anyway, we took this school and we moved forward through the fields to the railway station. The same railway station, it's a small gauge railway station, it was then, which was going to the forests. When we got there, was a train full of men, women and children murdered. Already had time to do that. On the station, this train full of bodies.
Shot with automatic weapons?
Shot, yes, shot. So they must have done it previous night. Anyway, the German tanks appeared and the infantry. So there was no sense staying in the open fields. We couldn't fight them because we have got the armament for that. So we returned to this school, and that was our southern defense point through the rising. We stayed in this position for some time, a few days, and then the company was moved back about 100 yards and was billeted alongside the little villas, and we were reserve company. That sounds very nice, but actually what was happening, if anybody got into trouble, off we go. Sometimes in the platoon strength, sometimes in full company strength. On the night from 18 to 19, we were moved to attack a place near Vilanov Palace, old King's Palace. It's not very far from in the suburbs of Warsaw, to facilitate our units which were pushed before our 3rd Battalion and other units which gathered in the assembled in the forests south of Warsaw, to make it easier for them to get back to us, cut through. As it happens, the people who were going to lead us didn't appear, and off we went on our own on a dark night. Of course, some soldiers got lost. Anyway, we got to the right place, but in the meantime, these units, nearly all of them, returned to our side, except one company. Well, there was not much sense to attack the palace, as it was already three times as many Germans there as us, and these units really did get on to our side, as they were ordered, through the German lines. They got through, and they were too tired to help us. Anyway, I was told that one company still is missing, so I took a patrol of a few men, and there is a road called King's Road from Warsaw to Vilanov, and we're sitting there in the bushes, and we heard some noise on the other side of this road in the bushes as well. As trees and bushes was covered. So I didn't get up, wasn't that silly. Shouted, "Hold, who goes there?" So quiet. And again, "Hold, who goes there?" Or I shoot. And then the voice said, Witold, it's you. I said, yes. And we each other recognized our voices, the company commander of that company from the 3rd Battalion and myself. And of course, we got them through because we already passed the German circle. So we took them to Vilanov. All together, we moved from the top of Mokotów down to part of Cherniakov. So we have a very big district, but it was sparsely populated, and sparsely, and the housing there was sort of a holiday camp system. You know, little villa here, a little villa there, and a lot of empty space. Except that little place called Sadiba, when these units which moved returned to us, our 3rd Battalion, and some other units from the forest came. And this was a normally sort of a small town, small. And we held that place, or they held. We returned to our role as a reserve unit. It wasn't much of a reserve, but the name was. Later on, we were taken down, transferred temporarily from the 1st Battalion to the 3rd Battalion to help them to attack big cloister on Czerniakowska Street, which is a street parallel to Vistula and parallel to Marszałkowska, more or less. There was a big cloister there, and behind it was a there was Polish barracks of the BEMA, General BEM, and its name, artillery unit used to stay there. General BEM was a Polish general who for some time was the commander-in-chief of the Hungarian forces during the Hungarian Rising in 1848, I think it was, during the Kossuth time. And first we had to take a block of flats, big modern block of flats, which we did. We got some prisoners. And then we attacked this cloister. The fighting was very fierce inside, you know, sort of throwing hand grenades from room to room. We were on the second floor, they were on the third floor, they were on